Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Hi, all.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the CEO of RIPTA, Scott Avedisian. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
A recent RIPTA report calls better public transit a key to making Rhode Island a better place to live. Scott Avedisian, what's the plan for making that happen?
Well, we've been undertaking a transit master plan now for the last year, looking at how we better connect rail to bus lines to van pool service. And so what we've come up with is a number of different initiatives that we think can not only increase ridership, get things to a point where we had been seeing a decline in ridership. This year, we're going to post an increase, mostly because Rhode Island College has gone to a UPass program. So every student and faculty member can use their college ID as a bus pass. We've picked up between 4,400 and 4,800 more trips per week right from Rhode Island College. We've been looking at those kind of markets that we can go and look at. But we've really got to make sure that we have the connections that are there, the frequency that is there. So in January, we will open the downtown transit connector, which will have 5-minute frequency from Providence Station to the hospital and 6 stops in between. And so within 5 minutes from getting out to any one of those stops, you'll have a bus that will take you to the next.
The gas tax is the largest source of RIPTA's operating revenue, and that revenue is falling. So how will RIPTA be able to pay for the kind of improvements that it hopes to make over the next 20 years?
Well, obviously, part of this plan will be a funding mechanism for the future because, as you said, it's counterintuitive. We're asking people to not drive and get on the bus, but yet if we don't have the gas tax money, we don't have the funding to go and do any of these improvements. So part of the Transit Master Plan will be a look at what the options are as we go into the future and how we can better fund public transportation.
Do you get the sense, at least I do, that there's really a willingness to pay attention to these kinds of issues, step up, understand that people have to make choices, okay, that revenue has to go up? I mean, when we talk about cars, we talk about pollution, it seems things are coming together that would at least give you a lift in terms of making a convincing case of the kinds of initiatives you're going to have to do to get this ball rolling.
Right. And Maureen, what we saw, we started express service from Kennedy Plaza and from Pawtucket down to Quonset Point. We started that in January of this year. It was slow at first, but we see a steady increase of people saying, this is a much better option for me. I don't need to drive all the way down there, one person in a car all by myself. We've done a lot of work out in the East Bay with some manufacturers in Warren and in Bristol on how they could shift their start times in order to allow us to get people out there. So I think there is a renewed sense of interest in what we can do to move people more effectively and more efficiently.
Does RIPTA have too many routes that are kind of linked to the old days? You know, I've talked to people who say that some of your routes actually started back when they had horses.
That is correct, some of them. The Gaspy Eddy line is number one, and that's the oldest one in the system. Over the years, we've been very willing, through our comprehensive operational analysis that was done 5 years ago, of removing bus stops that weren't serving anyone and getting rid of routes that weren't really moving people. But there is a lot of the old hub-and-spoke system that is still
Are you accelerating a way to try to change that?
We do an analysis every year of how many people we're moving as to whether or not they're cost effective. But the most important thing is we've looked at other modes. So van pools of being able to say, here's a hotel in South County that needs to move the laundry and maybe the cleaning staff at a certain time of day. If we can get them hooked up with a van pool that will just move all their employees at once.
It often seems like there's a chicken and egg issue with trying to improve public transit in Rhode Island. Everyone likes the idea of better public transit, but you need more population and employment density to support it, and that in turn would encourage more population and business density. So what's the solution for that?
Well, obviously, when parking is readily available, it's very difficult to get someone to decide that they're going to take the bus. So we've seen on a number of college campuses where they're saying that surface parking lot could be a building with classrooms and lab space in it. So I think the critical mass of how people are starting to look at the use of land and said, you know, so when the Department of Education moves from downtown up to the Department of Administration building, the DOA is starting a pilot program for state employees because there's not enough parking up there. So we're hopeful that those types of things will really get people to give transit a different look.
Let's switch gears to talk about how U.S. House Democrats in Washington are bringing forth articles of impeachment against President Trump. Scott Avedishin, of course, for many years you were the Republican mayor of Warwick. We've seen very few Republicans in Rhode Island. I think of Gary Sass, the former Carcheri administration official, and former State Senator Dawson Hodgson from North Kingstown, who've been publicly critical of President Trump. Where do you come down on impeachment, and are you critical of President Trump?
I wish that he would stop tweeting. I think that that becomes such a distraction as to governing. So I'm critical in a number of areas.
Where do you come down on impeachment?
I have to believe that the House leadership says that this is a good move for them or they wouldn't be doing it. So I would, if I was someone who had to vote at this point, I would probably favor voting for it.
Scott McKay, as we know, it's been seemingly clear all along that the Republican-controlled Senate will likely not back impeachment. How do you think this plays politically for Democrats, even if House Democrats say they have to do this?
Well, I understand what they're doing, but I also think that no one knows yet. I mean, this is fascinating. In modern times, we've never had a president who's been impeached in his first term. This is really new, uncharted territory for us. Now, does it galvanize Trump's base? It probably does. I think the danger here, and one thing you lament if you have a sense of history, is the extinction of conservative Democrats and moderate Republicans from Congress has been, frankly, a disaster.
We should note that Scott Avedishin was just nodding his head.
Well, yes, he was, because he was a moderate Republican. And people like you, Scott, and the Chafee wing, or the Rockefeller wing, Jake Javits, there used to be a lot of people, Ken Keating, who were moderate Republicans.
Well, the message was, though, if you continued to be a moderate Republican, you were going to end up with a primary challenge. And the goal was to push away anyone who was anywhere near the middle. So
if you think that this impeachment is going to do anything to bring that system back, this is going to be the nastiest, most raucous kind of engagement. It's only going to drive people further apart. If you looked at the hearings the Senate was holding on the inspector generals, it gives you a taste for the rancor and the really stridentness. And I don't see any this. Whatever happens politically to the parties, this damages the system so badly.
Yeah.
And I don't see how the Republicans can pull back and create some sort of a moderate contingency.
Nonetheless, Maureen, do you think it was right for Democrats, if they believe this was the right thing to do on the issue, do you think it was right for them to pursue this?
I do, because the thing is that, you know, people, you know, sort of throw the founders around. This is about foreign intrusion, and I really think it's different from what happened with Nixon and what happened with Clinton. And I think this is one, they can't let it go. I mean, they just can't say, okay, what'll happen next time?
All right, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And the CEO of RIPTA, Scott Avedishin.
Thank you.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.